From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Climate change could bring more water scarcity to the Midwest and Great Plains, and with it, more legal battles over water.
It's going to be a water war, you know, and we're seeing it right now.
How the middle of the country could face more disputes over water. That story coming up after the news on The Gateway. 36 residents and staff members at 3 Illinois veterans' homes have tested positive for COVID-19, according to state health officials. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports that includes 21 reported cases at the Quincy Veterans Home.
As the country's seen a late summer increase in the spread of the coronavirus, cases at the Quincy home went from around just a single case weeks ago to more than 20. Most of the cases have been mild and confined to the facility's memory care unit, said the Illinois Veterans Home at Quincy administrator Chuck Newton.
I think people really feel that it's kind of done its course and gone away, but it can still rear its ugly head, and it does, but it's more or less and very mild.
Officials from the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs say isolating people who have tested positive and increased masking have kept the virus from spreading. Around 300 veterans and their spouses live at the Quincy home. Tracking at Quincy's sewage treatment plant shows the level of the virus in the community wastewater has been going up since the beginning of summer. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal judge is allowing a lawsuit against a Metro East coal plant to move forward. The Sierra Club is suing Prairie State Generating Company over its operation of a coal plant in Washington County, Illinois. That's about 45 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The Sierra Club alleges that the plant has been operating and emitting harmful air pollutants without the permits required by federal air quality law for 10 years. The energy company filed a motion to dismiss the suit. In the ruling, the judge denied that motion, saying the allegations are sufficient to move forward. Ahead of the long holiday weekend and all of the expected travel, the Illinois Tollway is reminding drivers that it has its own service to request roadside assistance. Alex Stegman reports.
The signs urging people to dial *999 on their mobile devices are ubiquitous along the state's toll roads, but the tollway is urging people to actually use it this Labor Day weekend. Maintenance crews patrol an estimated 294 miles of roadways 24 hours a day. Drivers can use *999 to call them for help if they run out of gas, need coolant, get a flat tire, or have a number of other issues. The tollway expects nearly 8 million vehicles to use the highway network this holiday weekend. Most construction work along the tollways will be suspended to ease congestion, but the ongoing rebuild of 294 will still continue. I'm Alex Degman.
A new St. Louis University YouGov poll finds a majority of Missouri residents think team owners should pay for new sports facilities. Less than 20% of respondents said local and state governments should cover the costs of a new sports facility. This comes 4 months after Jackson County voters rejected a proposal to fund a stadium for the Kansas City Royals and facility improvements for the Chiefs. Kansas lawmakers this summer approved an incentive deal to lure the teams over, and outgoing Missouri Governor Mike Parson says he wants to ensure they stay in Missouri before he leaves office. And that latest SLU YouGov poll also shows a broadening support for a state constitutional amendment that would overturn Missouri's near-total ban on abortions. The new poll finds a slim majority of all Missourians in support of the proposition, which appears as Amendment 3 on the November ballot. Poll director Steve Rogers says the issue has gained momentum among all political affiliations since the question was last asked in February.
So here, what Missouri policymakers and voters may take from these results is that if I at least had to kind of make a guess, is that I think that Amendment 3, at least right now, is probably on its way to passage.
But Rogers adds these newest results are just one snapshot in time, and as we've seen, things could still change in the 2 months before Election Day. A responsibility of the Missouri Treasurer's Office is to oversee the state's educational savings account program. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the Democrat running to be Missouri's treasurer says he would oppose the program if elected.
Through the program, families can receive funding to send their children to the school of their choice, including private schools. The account is funded by private donors who then receive tax credits from the state. Mark Osmak is the Democratic candidate for treasurer. He opposes the program, which was recently expanded by the state legislature.
By and large, taking money away from public schools, taking money away from, I think, what is rightfully every single Missourian's, is wrong.
Osmek says if elected, he could slow down how the program functions to the best of his and the office's ability, even though it is in state law. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Osmek was a guest on Politically Speaking. During the first 2 weeks of classes, St. Louis Public Schools worked with community ambassadors who reported back to district leaders about the overall functioning of schools. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
Transportation leaders in the district say they haven't received any reports of safety violations at the schools regarding transportation or for students who take public transit. Acting Superintendent Millicent Borchade says the district will provide a more detailed presentation on transportation after Labor Day. And she says reports from volunteer ambassadors will be useful for their assessment.
And what they're reporting back is the efficiency of the buses and what needs to be updated. And we're taking that information and then creating an action plan from there.
For parents who need assistance with transportation, Borchade says the quickest way to get help is to contact their school principal. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Dolly Parton was in Missouri this week to celebrate the state fully funding her Imagination Library program. Missouri was the 14th state to launch the Imagination Library statewide, sending free books to children 5 and under every month. The American icon shared with an audience at the Folly Theater in Kansas City that the program is available to all children, regardless of income.
This program doesn't cost anybody anything, and your kid gets a book, and they love it. So that's a great feeling. So I'm glad that, you know, we can cater to all children everywhere.
Nearly 140,000 children have enrolled in the Imagination Library program in Missouri since its November launch. The western U.S. has seen decades of disputes over water. Now climate change could bring more water scarcity to the Midwest. That's left states like Missouri wondering if the thirst for water could be headed this way. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
On the ground in St. Louis, you're not always aware of how reliant we are on the huge rivers around us. But from the air, it's obvious. On a flight with the environmental organization Lighthawk, a volunteer pilot traced the final few miles of the Missouri River as it dumps into the Mississippi just north of St. Louis.
Altitude.
Here, these rivers are lined with farms, power plants, and cities full of people drinking the water. Missouri's politicians know this water is precious, and they're preparing to block attempts to take water from the state. Upstream, there are already projects putting metaphorical straws into the waters of the Missouri River. One is the Red River Valley Water Supply Project in North Dakota. Here's how a promotional video lays out its goals.
Reliable water supplies for drinking water and industrial uses in central North Dakota and the Red River Valley can be scarce, especially under drought conditions. Yet, the Missouri River presents an abundant resource.
Construction is already underway on this pipeline that will move Missouri River water. It's expected to be completed in 2032. This water pipeline is contentious. A couple years ago, the state of Missouri sued unsuccessfully to try to block a project that connects to it. Some North Dakotans think lawsuits from downriver states are only going to become more common. Duane DeCray is the general manager of the Garrison Diversion Conservancy District, which is co-leading the Red River Project.
I think that water use is going to kind of move from west to east, and the Missouri River is probably the next on the docket for everybody trying to get a piece of it.
DeCray says there's a saying where he lives.
Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting.
That's a phrase Doug Kluck is familiar with. He's the Central Region's Climate Services Director for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Kluck says climate change could bring more water scarcity to these parts.
If you want to layer on climate change onto, if you will, man-made challenges, then you're talking about longer periods of drought with more heavy rainfall events kind of stuck in between that don't help as much when it comes to needs.
And Kluck points out some research has shown that the line of aridity, where the drier Great Plains start, might already be moving east. Water fights could move east with that line. While the western U.S. is known for big water struggles, especially in the Colorado River Basin, there are smaller fights already happening in the Midwest. Burke Griggs is a professor of law at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. In 2015, he represented Kansas before the Supreme Court in a water case against Nebraska.
The interstate water dispute does have a long and pretty distinguished history.
Greg says there are fights over rivers and groundwater between neighbors. There are even international water agreements, like on the Great Lakes. And there are tribal nations throughout the Midwest who also have a claim. Doug Krogost is the Water Resources Director for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. He's also chairman of the board of the Great Plains Tribal Water Alliance, which includes tribes along the Missouri River.
It's going to be a water war, you know, and we're seeing it right now. A water war within states, and the tribes are pitted in the middle of all of it. And the funny thing about it is the tribes have a bigger water right than the states do.
Krogos points out treaties the tribes struck with the U.S. more than a century ago promised them water. Close observers say climate change is going to bring all of these stakeholders into the courtroom more often. Or, at the very least, it will force a lot more collaboration. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. We'll be back on Tuesday. Have a safe and happy long weekend.